Welcome back to Top Ends with Twins. This week, we're going to lay out the blueprint for FPL managers going forward. And stick around, because Luke has a lot of great insights. Let's get to it. Hey there, everyone. This is Top Bins with Twins. This is Luke here, and I'm sitting right next to Paul. Paul, say hi to everyone.
Hey, everybody. I hope everybody's doing well after the holiday season. I know that I came down with a little cold, and I've been under the weather, so hopefully nobody else.
The important thing is Paul is feeling better. He's on the rise, just like anyone who has those green arrows right now on their team. So
I also don't have green arrows.
Well, that's a bad combination there.
It's not great right now, guys.
That is a bit unfortunate, but I hope that turns around for you really quick, Paul. And yeah, we're excited to be here with you guys for this episode. We are going to update you on how our teams are performing this week, talk a little bit about what to expect upcoming for Game Week 21, which is a weird deadline. Deadline's going to be Tuesday, January the, I want to say...
It's the 14th.
Yeah. January Tuesday, the January 14th. So that, don't let that catch you out. There's no games this upcoming weekend because of FA Cup matches, which we love the FA Cup. It's a lot of fun. We get to see teams play that we normally don't have on the television, especially here in the US. So very exciting to have that, but no FPL deadline. So that's a little depressing, but at least we'll have football on to push away the depression. So.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Me and Luke were just talking about the podcast before we got on, and I didn't quite realize that there weren't any games this coming weekend. So guess who's even more depressed?
It hits you like a train.
Yeah, those red arrows, the missed FPL weekends, Premier League weekends, I said, per se. But, like, it's tough.
Speaking of red arrows, how about you tell people about your team, Paul?
What a pivot. What a fucking pivot. So I don't even know. Like, my FPL team has fallen completely apart. I ended on 43 points this week. 52 is the average. My rank about 4 weeks ago, I'll just pull it up. It's really depressing, but I'll share it with everybody. So as of, let's see, as of game week 16, my lowest that I got to was 576K in the world.
Right.
Which is a great spot to be going into the festive fixtures. And I've had nothing but red arrows since. And now my rank is currently 1.5 million.
1.5.
So I have had a horrendous stretch. I've just made some horrible decisions. I brought in, took out Gordon when I shouldn't have, made rash transfers when I brought in Madison, who can't even get minutes. Like, just a bunch of horrible decisions and some unlucky things too. Like, I brought in Saar. I think he could have had two or three returns, honestly, since I brought him in. And then it just hasn't worked out, you know?
Yeah, I'm looking back at your team right now, Paul, and I think, you know, that's highlighting taking Gordon out. I think that's a big one, right? Because he was in form and playing well. He wasn't having these massive hauls, but he was returning consistently, right? Even we were back home with our family for the festive fixtures, and I was sitting there watching the beginning of Newcastle against who were they playing that week? I believe it was...
Was it Newcastle Liverpool?
Nope. It was... Sorry for the delay here. I believe it was Villa. It was whenever they played Villa, and he scored his goal. And it was one of the early goals, right? He scored in like the 7th or 8th minute, and Paul wasn't watching. So I was like, oh, Paul, Gordon scored. We're good. And I didn't realize Paul had transferred him out, right? Yeah. Because I didn't even think you would, to be honest. But it's just one of those decisions, I think, where you look back and you just learn from it, right? Going forward, if there's a player in your team who's in form, he's returning, even if it's just a marginal amount, like an assist here, maybe a goal there, you still stick with them, right? And Newcastle have been much better, according, you know, as opposed to what they were for a while there. So, you know, you can easily turn it around, right? There's so much time left in the season.
Yeah, that's just the difficult thing. Like, whenever you have red arrow, it just feels very difficult to, like, turn things around, you know? And I think the best way to do that is to make simple decisions to just get points back in your team and to make easy captaincy choices. Because, I mean, even, like, my transfers, like, I haven't made the best decisions. But, I mean, there's weeks where I didn't captain Salah and I captained Palmer and I got 4 points out of it instead of an extra, what, I think, like, instead of Salah getting 42 points with the captaincy, he gets 21.
Yeah.
And then I'm screwed in that game week, you know?
Yep.
And it's just little things like that that really make up an FPL season, and it's really disappointing to me. But Luke's right. It's a couple of bad weeks. It's not the worst thing ever, but I got to get my shit together. There's no question about it.
Agreed. I mean, I have seen a massive rank gain for my team, right? Because I've gone from 4.6 million overall in game week 12 all the way down to 1.6 million in game week 20. So I've shaved off 3 million from my overall rank, and I haven't had an insane game week for an overall week really out of that run. It's just I've solidly been in about the 1 million to about 1.8 million overall game week ranks, and that just chips away at it, right? And if I am fortunate enough to get one of those, you know, 10,000 game week overall ranks, I'm going to continue to skyrocket up, right? So as you said, right, we're in a very similar point right now. And I think for you, right, my perspective for my team is very different than yours because I've had the green arrows consistently, but our overall ranks are about 100K difference. So the only thing really is you just need to position your team for a long term and you're going to be perfectly fine. It's just getting through that mental barrier of, oh, my team's struggling, and like you're down in the trenches with it, which I'm the same way about my team whenever this happens. Mm-hmm. But it's just shifting that mentality to where you say, okay, yes, I made some mistakes here, but how do I learn from it? And where do I go right this time? Like there's so many opportunities out there right now in FPL that I think it's an exciting time, right? Because you need to reset your team. You need to do something to freshen it up, and there's lots of options to do that.
So, like, that begs the question. If you had my team, would you play your wild card right now?
I'm looking at your team right now. Give me 1 second. I lost it there. So
the big issue in my team right now, honestly, is the Arsenal players that I have, because I have Havertz, who's missed 2 games in a row, and I have Odegaard, who has not been honestly the same since his injury. So that the big thing that I need to figure out is where can I redistribute those funds to assets that are going to return every week?
Yes. Yep.
That's so the big question.
I think that Odegaard, for one, I would take him out of the team.
Yeah, right? he's on the chopping block. I hate to say it, but
I do like some of the upcoming fixtures, but for the funds you're allocating into him, you can go somewhere else and be, for example, I know Mbomo just had a really good week and there's some recency bias there, but Mbomo is someone who's just returning week in, week out. Regardless of who he's playing, he has a great chance of returning.
He's a consistent performer over the course of a season.
He is.
And he has that ability to have a week where he has 2 goals and 1 assist.
Yep, exactly. So just keep that in mind, right? That I think Mbomo is someone who you could look at. Outside of that, I mean, I know this might seem a little like reductive, or you might not like it, but I would not be against you bringing Gordon back into your team. I really like Newcastle's fixtures for the next, I mean, going all the way to game week 34, right? That might be a little overreactionary, but they have Wolves, Bournemouth, and Southampton, and then two of those next three fixtures are incredible. I really, really like those a lot. And they have difficult fixtures coming up, but I could still see them returning in those difficult fixtures. Like Man City away, Isak and Gordon can easily return. And I would
bet on Isak to get a goal in that game.
Yeah.
The form he's too. In City, we don't trust them.
And the thing about this, right, if you look at Isak's numbers, he's been performing so well because he's incredible at creating his own chances. And whenever I think about Newcastle, I think Isak and Gordon are their main men, but we even have Jacob Murphy as a cheaper option that I think is someone that if he enables you to do other stuff in your team, I would not be against going for him, right? If you really feel like you could get there and he enables you to do other stuff. So I would just keep that in mind. There's so many good options out there. I mean, I don't know how you feel about this, but Savio is someone who is a hot commodity in my opinion.
I've considered it.
If he's building that relationship with Haaland, and it looks like he is, right? He's looking for him more. He's playing balls in the way that Haaland can attack them in a way that he hasn't been able to do the last like 5, 6, 7 game weeks. That could be a great person to invest in. He did recently rise in price, but I mean, you know, I don't think Pep's going to bench him after he, on the back of what he's been doing the last couple game weeks.
Just remember though, it is Pep.
It is,
who
but
knows what that bald fraud is up to.
Pep also was always in a position of comfortability to an extent, right?
Yeah, to tinker.
At this point, I don't think he can start Doku over Savinho, purely because Savinho has been so good and he's returning. So, mm-hmm. Someone that I like there, Eze is an option too. I really like Eze.
I wish I didn't go Sar when I did, because mm-hmm. if that's one of those swing door moments where I thought about going Eze, but I wanted to save money and go with Sar.
Right.
Eze has returned, I think, like maybe
2 weeks in a row, I believe.
2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, because he scored.
And we just know.
Scored a goal, and then this most recent week he got the assist to Bing Bing Mateta, who, thank you very much, Mateta, for returning in my team this week. Love that. Was on 3 bonus, and then it got changed where Cole Palmer's on 3 bonus now. You know, both are in my team, so it's fine. But I really like Mateta's ownership, and that extra point goes a long way.
That was a good transfer for you.
Yeah, he's been good, and I really love the run that he's on. I'll pivot to my team real fast while we're still kind of on this topic. This week, I had a very good game week. Ended up on 75 points for the week. I captained Salah for his one goal pin merchant finish. You know, Salah he's going to return once or twice every game week at this point is what it feels like. So why not captain him? Although it makes it boring once again. But other returns on my team, I had Sepp Vandenberg with the 10-pointer for Brentford, keeping their second clean sheet of the year against Southampton. Unfortunately, he did have a goal ruled off for offsides that I think was complete bullshit. VAR intervened. Did you see this?
No.
It was a corner, and Wissa, literally, the defender is going to close down Vandenberg as he's about to put the ball in the back of the net. And Wissa barely holds him, and then the defender just collapses and acts like he gets, you know, he was attacked. And then VAR goes back and says that was too much. So...
Well, we know VAR did everything correct this weekend, so there's no way.
There's no fault.
No way that that's correct.
Like. So my thing, though, like, oh, it's so frustrating because he would have been on 6 more points for the goal, right? And then probably 2 more, if not 1 more, from bonus points. So that would have been a huge boost, and he's currently 2.4% selected. So that it would have been the week of differentials for my team because I had Vandenberg return. I had KDB with an assist, which was kind of disappointing. I feel like there was much more in that game for him. But you take it, you run. And then I had Mateta, who is currently 3.1% owned, getting the goal and 2 bonus. And then Jimenez with the 2 pins at 9.4% ownership. So it was a good week for my team. Really liking the way that things are kind of building at the moment. Mm-hmm. And also from a team value perspective, I'm really excited because Mateta, Jimenez, and Gordon and Hall, maybe even Sepp Vandenberg, all of them are going to continue to rise through the next couple of weeks or so because of their fixtures and their form. So I'm really, really excited about how my team's looking. And going into it, I wasn't sure what to expect, right? Because I had Rodgers, who was suspended for such a great fixture against Leicester at home.
And you had Timber, too.
And I had Timber, too, who was suspended as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it could have been a disappointing week, but it really kind of things fell my way this week. So
yeah, I think FPL is such a momentum thing, really. It's mm-hmm. so hard to, like, whenever you're on those green arrows like you are, I'm on those red arrows like I am right now. It's really hard to, like, basically turn the ship around whenever you're fighting against the tide. So it's just the little things, you know.
It is. And this might be weird advice to give, but I think there are some times where if you're struggling to ride out the storm and let it pass, and then you're good to go. But sometimes you just need to fucking rip it and say, no, I am going to take a -4, a -8. If I need to reset my team and you need to reset your team, you do it, right?
Yeah, I agree.
If you feel like it's the right time for that, then my advice is just do it, right?
So Luke making a Nike plug real quick.
Yeah,
on the pod.
There go the advertising dollars.
God damn. Shit. What are we going to do? How are we going to eat this week?
How am I going to feed my kids?
Luke does not have kids, by the way.
I do have a son.
He has a son.
But he has a lot of fur. And loves to bark. He walks around on a leash.
Steals peanut butter sandwiches from the counter.
Oh, yes. He's very bad about
it. Yeah, he's a sneaky boy.
Yes, I have a 70-pound son named West who is a dog, if no one's picking that up. So moving on from that, before we go on, is there anything else you want to say about your team, Paul? Any other final thoughts before we close the door on this week?
If anybody out there, I'll post my team on Twitter and Blue Sky and all that stuff so everybody
just
can see.
Just Blue Sky.
Just Blue Sky, fine. That's fine.
All right.
We'll just put it on Blue Sky. And I just went, honestly, at this point, I just need help. If you think I should wild card, please tell me I should. I really can't talk today. But
please tell me I should shan't.
I can't talk. I can't fix my FPL team. So just for once, I'm reaching out to other people for help, you know?
And I think it's great you do that, right? Because I think everyone gets to this place sometimes where maybe we spend too much time looking at our teams. Maybe we're looking at too many different ideas. It can be so easy to get overwhelmed with the possibilities that having people to say, okay, well, 1, 2, and 3 are the things that I would do with this team. That provides a vision and also helps you kind of declutter everything to an extent.
Yeah. And I mean, the saddest part to me, we'll move on here quickly from my team.
No, keep going. Keep going. Yeah.
I had a team this week that I was thinking about bringing in these transfers of Mbomo, Delap, Gakpo, and Iwobi. Do you know what that does to my game week?
Very different. Even just Mbomo having that. And then Delap with the pins.
Crazy. Crazy behavior.
I do.
Delap had 2 goals.
You're right. He did. Sorry.
No, he did not.
Right. No, Smaldic scored the first one, and then Delap got the second. The pin.
I think he assisted. Did he assist? He drew the second pin, and
then converted himself. Yeah, so there was no assist given on that. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, hey, it happens though, guys. You know, and let's move forward.
One last thought about my team, Ollie Watkins. How dare you?
Yeah.
That's all I'm gonna say.
Mic drop.
Going on to game week 21, we have to wait a little bit longer than we normally would for game week 21 to start because, as we said at the beginning of the pod, game week 21 does not start until Tuesday, January 16th. Is that what we said?
14th.
14th. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't start till the 14th because of FA Cup fixtures. With that in mind, we need to know which Premier League teams are going to be playing in the FA Cup. So on Saturday,
there's games Thursday and Friday too.
Yes, yeah, but those games are.
So it's on Thursday we have Everton and Fulham playing. They don't play each other. They play different teams in the Championship or in the League One.
And then on Friday we have Villa and West Ham.
Mm-hmm.
On Saturday we have Wolves, Liverpool, Leicester, Bournemouth, Brentford, Chelsea, Brighton, City, and that's it.
Nottingham Forest too.
Oh, Nottingham Forest too. Sorry, I missed them.
Yeah, no, that's good. We're all
and then good. On Sunday we have Arsenal playing Manchester United, which will probably be the prime fixture of the FA Cup for that round. And then we also have Ipswich, Newcastle, and Southampton all playing. So Tottenham is playing as
Tottenham
well.
Tottenham and Crystal Palace.
Yes, yes. Not to forget any team. So a lot of FPL players will be out playing fixtures outside of the normal Premier League schedule. So keep that in mind. As always, for a week like this, we will advocate for you to try to hold those transfers as long as you can. And on top of that, we have the transfer window, which is wide open now. So there could be some movement, especially with the Premier League taking a little bit of a break. I would expect to see some transfers heating up over the next week. So keep an eye on that. Follow transfer news to an extent, because if there's a really big transfer, you know, let's say Alexander Isak makes the move somewhere, let's say North London, that could be a huge transfer.
Don't play games with me, Luke.
Sorry, I just knew you're having a bad FPL week, so I wanted to lighten the mood a little bit.
Yeah.
Catering to the audience there. But with all of this in mind, right, most importantly, deadline is going to be later on Tuesday. Keep an eye on how those teams are performing. And I also, as a neutral, probably not so much, as a neutral for Arsenal against Manchester United, I would keep a very close eye to see who is starting that match for both teams. Because I would expect both teams to be going for that. I think Arteta would love to get an FA Cup, another one. Yeah.
Yeah, he for sure is going to want an FA Cup and maybe even another domestic title too this year. I mean, maybe two other domestic titles. We'll see.
You never know.
We'll see. The Premier League's really strange right now to me. I don't know how to read what's going on with the title race right now. I know it's all very reactionary constantly, but like it just feels like Liverpool are kind of like taking their hand off the pedal a little bit, but at the same time, nobody else is stepping up besides Forest. I mean, Forster, but I just don't see that happening the rest of the season.
Here's my thing about Nottingham Forest. If I describe my footballing philosophy personally down at an individual level, I would call myself a very modern, progressive, stylistic approach is how I would approach football, right? If I was managing, I would want my team playing more of a possession-based game, but also playing adventurously and trying to be creative in the attack, right? Defensively, yes, we would concede goals, but we wouldn't sit back and sit in a deep block. That is exactly what Force do. They sit incredibly deep. They make things incredibly difficult by clogging up the passing lanes, and then they counter, right? I don't love that style of play. So I'm biased towards that style of play. And, you know, it's the same thing like when David Moyes was with West Ham.
I was about to say West Ham.
If you've been a longtime listener, you know that I am not the biggest Moyes enthusiast.
No, you're a Moyes hater. There's no question about it.
I respect his career, no doubt. I just don't like the way that his team's played, to be very frank. But with that being said about Forest, I could see them continuing this because that play style is easy to replicate week over week, especially against teams that don't have the midfield to withstand their counterattacks, right? If they can counter and break through midfield and be running at a back line, Forest can hurt you. They have the players with pace to get in behind, and then Chris Wood, everything that he touches that's heading the direction of the goal finds a way to go in at this point. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with the title race, but Liverpool are slipping up a little bit, but I still think it's until they lose, until they drop maybe 4 or 5 more points, it's entirely their title to lose at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. It's a tricky conversation for me because obviously I have my thoughts that are not maybe the most balanced thoughts about where the Premier League's gone this year and why certain things have happened. I'm not becoming conspiracy.
We don't have to do that. But how about what if we pivot towards, do you think Arsenal have the ability to catch Liverpool?
Easily.
Okay.
They easily do. And that's even without Saka, with Odegaard not being in prime form, missing various defenders, starters, all that stuff. I think that Liverpool are showing cracks lately. And one of the big things is that, I mean, if you look at the run of fixtures going forward for the rest of the season, Arsenal's a majority of their away games besides when they play Liverpool. And I think there's another team in the top, one other team in the top 10. Besides that, Arsenal are playing a majority of their away games at teams that are 10th or below.
And Newcastle away.
Yeah, that one. That's a really tough one. But I mean,
and then also Forest away too.
Yeah. So there's those fixtures. But after that, Liverpool have to go away to, I think a majority of their games away are to teams at the top half of the table. So you're gonna see a balance of that. And I'm just going to say it. There's no way that Arsenal's second half of the season can be as weird as the first half. How could it be weirder? There's no three red cards, all these mystery decisions, injuries, all these different things. There's no way the second half can be worse, right?
The thing about that, though, is you would hopefully have weathered the storm up to this point and had your team full strength going into the stretch, not having Saka. And if they don't spend the money to get a replacement or someone, you know, a replacement for now, but someone who can go play on the left wing once Saka's back, they are going to limp through this stretch. And I think the title race is pretty much gone for them if they don't replace or have someone come in for Saka. They're not gonna be able to do it.
I think we saw visions a little bit in the first half against Brighton.
Yeah, but what happened to your goal scorer? He's out for a couple weeks.
That's what I'm saying. It's just the season from fucking hell, you know? Like there's so many what ifs, what could have beens, but the simple fact is that I think it's possible. It doesn't look likely.
I was thinking about this the other day. This gets us back onto the topic of FPL. That within the vocabulary of being an FPL manager, the topic of if should be taboo and completely eliminated from our vocabulary. Because whenever we look at our FPL teams, there are a million different results that could come out through the course of one game week, right? There's so much variance involved. Whenever we go down the route of saying, if this happened, or if I would have captained Salah instead of Palmer, I've done that so many times this season, right? I think it's so counterintuitive just to be spending the time on the hypothetical ifs that could have happened in our teams, right? And I think we're all guilty of it because it's so easy to do it, but it's not productive.
I agree. This is something actually that I was talking. So I'm a recruiter for my job, my day-to-day. Like my job is I'm a healthcare recruiter, and there is a million independent variables in that job, right? There's a million things that could happen. And honestly, I think FPL is kind of the same way where, I mean, you're exactly right, Luke. If you can be emotionless and just go through that, you would be the best FPL manager of all time because you're not going to make rash decisions and you're just going to look. If you can look at these games with just like a lens of numbers for your FPL team, that would set you on the path for most success. I mean, is it the funnest way to play? Probably not. But I mean,
there's that, right? There's the argument between like statistically and very analytically playing the game. But Chris Wood, for example, he's a fucking anomaly at this point. Right, he is a machine in front of goal. He is far outperforming his XG for what you'd expect from him, and historically in his career as well. Even that's even worse, right? And there's a huge gap there in how he's performing based upon his past performances. But the thing about it is, if you watch Force play, everything they're doing is to create a chance, cross it in the box, and give him an opportunity with one center back against him so that he can try to finish a chance. That makes him a good FPL option, even though he's outperforming his numbers, right?
You watch
them play and you see that. So it's like it's merging those, and that's where I think we all struggle, is finding the perfect combination of watching a match, looking at the numbers and analyzing to see who's getting chances, who's creating the chances. But on top of that, we just have to watch the games and consume that passively as well and help that inform our decisions. So that's one area that I think I can continue to get better with is when I'm watching a match, is trying to be better about strategically analyzing what's happening. Like what are Wolves trying to do when they're creating chances? How is Force trying to defend against, let's say, a 4-3-3 whenever they're playing against that? Like, are they playing a 4-back? Are they playing a 5-back? Stuff like that is where I need to get better. And I think that's where I take the next step up as an FPL manager. So,
yeah, that's kind of like, I think there are certain FPL accounts out there that kind of like tweet stuff out, put stuff on Blue Sky about like zonal weaknesses in teams. There's, what's the account, Luke? It's like, you know what I'm talking about?
I'm not sure, but there are a couple different accounts.
There's some different accounts that tweet out like, this is like, if you split it from like left, middle to right, which side is Liverpool usually attacking on? Like, and it's just, it's, that's very basic analysis of what Luke's talking about. But I mean, just seeing those numbers too really helps, because I mean, if you know that Liverpool on the right side are 65% of their chances are coming from there, it's like, Salah makes a lot of sense. Obviously, we know Salah makes a lot of sense. That's low hanging fruit.
Yeah.
But that's just like kind of the same idea of what Luke's saying, is that they're using the stats is always great. I appreciate it. I've become a lot better about that because of Luke. But the eye test and like how the team's actually going to play and their like philosophies and the zone, the areas they want to exploit in their attack or in their defense, how they're going to set up, it really is beneficial knowledge to have as an FPL manager, and both of us could probably be better about it. I know I, honestly, you're probably superior to me in that regard, but both of us could be better.
I'm going to give out a piece of information here that is not, it's definitely not like something that's hidden that no one wants to talk about and everything. But if you look at the highlights this past week when Crystal Palace played Chelsea, there's one person that popped out to me that said, ding, ding, I am one of the best FPL options on this field right now. And it wasn't Cole Palmer. It wasn't Eze. It wasn't Mateta. It was Munoz with Crystal Palace. I always default to that. But playing in that right back position for Glasner's system, almost every single time Crystal Palace had an opportunity to break, he was winning the ball or making a run where the diagonal gets played to him, and then all he has to do is cross the ball in, right? Or he could even have an opportunity where he could weave his way in, weave out, and get a shot out of that. If you look at his positional map, right, the average position he was taking up for Crystal Palace was the highest position on the pitch. If not the highest, it was the second highest between him and Mateta. How are we not investing in him? Because if you look, he has Leicester away, he has West Ham away, he has Brentford at home, Manchester United away, and Everton at home, followed by Fulham, Villa, and Ipswich all at home. That's a great run of fixtures. And something like that is the reason why we want to watch those fixtures to see who's in good positions. And Muniz, maybe he'll return the next 5 game weeks, 5 points. But maybe he has a game where he gets a goal and keeps a clean sheet. Mm-hmm. And then that transfer is entirely worth it for that one game right there. Right? Because getting defenders to return right now is pretty difficult, unless it's Lewis Hall.
Yeah, who didn't return this week. That guy always returns.
Yeah.
Unless it's this week when he subs off my bench.
So, yeah, I just told you who I'm transferring in this week pretty much. But my hesitancy there is I don't know if I want to have double Crystal Palace after having triple Crystal Palace.
Yeah, dude, I think both of us got scarred from the beginning of the season when we were like, Palace are going to be at the beginning of the season. They were horrible.
That definitely burned. So,
but I think that's a great point. Like, Munoz is a really good option. I love that shout out.
My one thing is I'm going to wait because I know Crystal Palace, they have an FA Cup fixture. I'm not sure if they play twice in this upcoming game week. I'll check that real fast. But, so that's one of the players that really, really popped out to me in watching the highlights back and, you know, having a feel for who I thought would be a good person to invest in, because he will continue to rise in price.
Yeah, I agree with you. And when that first goal falls for him or he starts getting those assists and maybe a clean sheet pops up on top of one of those, you'll see a lot of movement that way.
I have another player. Can I say one?
Yeah, go for it.
Sorry, I feel like a kid on Christmas morning. But one of the players who I'm actually really excited to see is if Graham Potter does take over at West Ham, I think Aaron Wan-Bissaka could be an incredible option.
Mm-hmm. Bissaka, is that the latest rumor that Potter's going there?
Yeah.
I said that from last year that he should have gone there.
Yeah, no, I like that managerial appointment a lot better than Lopetegui. I think Graham Potter is one of the best English coaches out there. And he probably just wanted some time away from the game after.
I mean, he was just counting his money after that Chelsea contract. Yeah, good gosh.
He could work for free this time around for the love of the game. But Bissaka is someone that I really like because he's shown some attacking threat already up to this point in the season. And you combine that with the 3-4-3 system that Graham Potter will probably play. Juan Bissaka will be pushing really high up the pitch. So keep an eye on that. West Ham's fixtures, I don't think they inspire too much confidence. But
this would be a transfer that you're probably going to say you probably want to wait and see what it would look like, right, Luke? Or do you want to be an early mover with that?
No, I would say game week 25 because West Ham have Brentford at home and then Arsenal away, but then it gets a lot better. So game week 25, give Graham Potter some time to settle in if he does get appointed, and that will go a long way towards having an idea of whether or not he's investable or not. But they have a very difficult run upcoming, so pump the brakes on that for a little bit.
Yeah.
But someone to watch.
I gotcha. I like both those suggestions.
And maybe
like,
Bowen will be back by then too, and that could be a good time to go on Bowen as well.
Yeah, I love both of those shouts. Two transfers to really keep an eye out for, I'd say. I can't say that I have any huge recommendations, but I want to highlight your transfer you made for Raul Jimenez. Like, that was just such a good transfer. I mean, we talked about this in the car the other day, but we didn't know that he was actually like officially on pens, and for him to get two pens in this game week for Luke helps so much. So,
oh, it did, really, and it, really it locked transfer. Him into three bonus points. Jimenez was one of those transfers where I could have gone with Wood, right? Because that transfer, I was moving Cunha out of my team,
which still would have been good too.
Yeah, it still would have been good. But with Jimenez, I love the fixtures, and I really thought that he'd have a good chance to return. And even before the pens, he had really good opportunities in the first half. I didn't get to watch the entire second half. I just got the tell in there, but he had a couple headers that could have easily gone in, a couple good saves by the keeper. He just felt like someone who is in good positions, and Fulham's one of they're playing really well right now, even though they did draw with Ipswich.
I love Fulham this year. I think it's great for them that they actually have like bench options too, where you can sub in ESR, you can bring in these different players like Reece Nelson when he's healthy, or like Harry Wilson who comes in this season just scoring all the winners. You know, like.
Yep.
They just have a lot of tactical flexibility, which is really cool to see in a team that's like a mid-table team like that. You know?
Yes, they really do. Fulham are fun to watch. I enjoy how they play. They play in different ways every time they play against a different opponent too. So it's always fun to watch what they're tactically doing on the pitch as well.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Before we close out the pod here, I think one thing I wanted to talk about was the assistant manager chip. I have been looking at it a little bit. I wouldn't say that I have an overall perspective on the best way to use the chip, but one team that I'm thinking could be great for us to target with this. And go ahead.
Can I guess?
Yeah, go ahead and guess.
Are you going to say Newcastle?
No.
Everton?
No.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Ipswich.
Oh, I see.
Ipswich, because they're currently 17th in the table. No, 18th. They're currently 18th in the table. They're right at the relegation line. Ipswich have played really well over the last couple game weeks, and they've shown that they can really hurt bigger teams when they play them. So if we look at their run of fixtures, and as context, we can use the assistant manager chip starting in game week 24. So anytime after that, it can be used, but it has to be used in three consecutive weeks.
Yeah.
So if you use it in 24, it'll be used and played in 24, 25, and 26.
And you can't play another chip during that time either.
You cannot. You cannot. But you cannot captain your assistant manager either. That would be very overpowered.
That'd be sneaky.
Very sneaky. And that was my first thought is, can I captain them? But no, you cannot. So what I'm thinking here with Ipswich have in game week 25, they go away to Aston Villa, which really feels like a team that they can hurt, right? The way they set up, I think they could highly frustrate Villa. And if Villa are playing their high line, someone like Delap could wreak havoc against them with the creativity he has behind him. I could see Ipswich not easily, but causing a lot of trouble, and they could win that. Mm-hmm. It's a winnable game.
I agree.
They then have Tottenham at home. And with the way Tottenham have been playing and what Ipswich did when they played them earlier in the season, I like that fixture for Ipswich.
Mm-hmm.
Game week 27, they go away to Manchester United. And with the struggles we've seen from United, and people can get at United, right? They're a team that their midfield's pretty good, but defensively, they just seem like they lack the stability to week in, week out, protect their goal, right? So Ipswich are a team that I really like going into those three fixtures there, because they might not win them all, but I could see them drawing all three of those, and you would get that bonus for Ipswich being at least five spots below those teams in the table.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Something
like
to think about. There's other teams out there who might be higher up the table, but still have that five spot difference. So that's what I'm going to be looking at over the next couple of days, is trying to figure out the best way to address that assistant manager chip. But that's just one of the ideas that's floating around for me right now.
Yeah, I think I really like Ipswich a lot as that. I mean, there's also the alternative perspective too, that, I mean, if you want to pick a safe choice, you could just go maybe pick a time when you think Liverpool have a good run or Arsenal, and just take those points that you think are more solidified, which you never know. I mean, we've seen this in the Premier League. Anybody can beat anybody else, which is maybe more so a reason to go with a lower tier team, a team lower in the table like Ipswich, or I think Wolves could be kind of sneaky for that, Luke.
With the right run.
Yeah, they have the ability to kind of, like, I don't know, just kind of, like, any given match, I feel like Wolves can score, like, three to five goals on the right day. So, I mean, they could be fun. I mean, I know you get, is it just a single extra point for a goal that they score?
So here's how it is. If a team wins, you get 6 points. If they draw, you get 3. Loss is 0 points. Each goal scored by the team while the manager chip is active is 1 point. A clean sheet is 2. But then you get an extra 5 points if the team draws and there's a margin of 5 spots between the teams, and the team's 5 spots below the team they're playing.
And if you win,
they get 10 extra points.
Which is huge,
yeah. Right? That's the equivalent of 2 midfielder goals. And that's strictly for a win on top of the points that you get for the win. So that's 16 points right there for a win.
Yeah.
The way that I play the game, I will for sure be targeting to get that 5 spot difference, standing difference, and get those extra 10 points for a win.
Yeah,
or even just a draw, right? A draw adds an extra 5 points.
Yeah. And that can be huge in game week.
And that, at that point, it's better to have a team draw than actually get a win. If you don't have if the bonus is active for the team that draws and then not for the one that wins. So
yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. I really think that I'll be chasing upside with that. And it's similar to last year, how I played my free hit, how I plan to use my free hit this season. My triple captain, I will be chasing the upside with all these. So
yeah, I think that's I think you're looking at it like high risk, high reward. Which is, I mean, if it's an extra slot where you're spending, like, just a little bit of money of your budget, I think it's a good way to play it, you know?
Yeah, I really wish we'd have another big blank game week, because I feel like last season that's where a lot of people went wrong, because they're like, oh, I need a free hit here. I need to have players out there. But in a blank game week, there's going to be low points across the board, right? There's not a lot of points to be had when you have 6 less fixtures. So it would be nice if we have a big blank week, but
it's possible with the fixtures coming up.
Yeah.
Depends on how many Premier League teams get through the FA Cup and also the Carabao Cup too. So.
Yes, yes. And hopefully soon we figure out exactly where Liverpool's fixture against Everton is going to be placed. Yep. That'll help us decide how to use chips.
Tune in to Ben Krellen.
Yes, and also keep an eye on who ends up in the FA Cup and Carabao Cup finals.
Yeah.
Because that will cause some blanks that will probably go into, I think, game week 34 or 35.
Yeah, that's... I think that's great information, Luke. I don't know how much else I have to say, though.
Yeah, no, I think we've definitely covered a lot in this podcast, so it's about time to get out of here, I think.
I think so. Do you have any closing notes?
Try to enjoy the fixtures for the FA Cup coming up. It is always nice to watch football for the sake of watching football. As we always talk about in this podcast, that's the reason why we do this, because we love the game itself and enjoy the game for what it is. It's a game, and we love it because we get to watch it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Luke. And honestly, I think Luke just laid out a great blueprint for FPL managers going forward. I think he was really cooking on this pod. I think there's a lot of good tidbits that he was talking about. I think I was kind of just guiding things along, which is perfectly fine. I don't have much brain activity right now because I was just sick. But I think Luke really did a great job on this one. So make sure you listen, pay attention to what he's saying, because like I said, I think it's a great blueprint going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's been a lot of fun to do this pod. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And yeah, thanks for joining, everyone. We appreciate you.
We'll see you guys next time.